How you doing?
Good.
Did somebody say okay? I love honesty. I thought I heard alright. Whatever. That's cool. Oh man, it's good to be back. I know some of you are like, what? You're back? It doesn't mean anything to you, but a lot of you have known that Chase and I just got back from the great state of Texas. It was my first real trip to Texas, and there's all these weird noises that people from Texas make when you talk about it that just happened. But depending on what school you went to, I'm learning those things quickly. But it was a good trip. It was a lot of fun. I feel like my jeans are tighter. I had a burger that had brisket on it before I left, so if we didn't raise any money, it was worth it. So that was cool. Anyways, but we are back, and it feels really good to be back. It was funny, though, because I kept telling them, the weather in Boulder this time of year is so amazing, so nice. I got back, and, like, trees are blowing down in my backyard. I'm, like, looking at the mountains, waiting for Jesus to come riding over them on his horse for some reason. But he didn't, and that's a bummer. So, hey, I want to, before we dive into our text, because we are in this series, 1 Thessalonians, Kingdom Come. We are in the last week of it, but before I go in there, I'm going to move quick today because I want to cover something up front that has nothing to do with our series, but it has great importance for us as a community and as a body that we want to make sure we communicate to you all well. And that's pertaining to missional communities. They're going well, and if you're like, what's a missional community? Well, that's our groups of people who gather together for study, for relationship, and to live life on mission. That's what they basically do. They meet in homes. They currently have 4 of them going on, and the city is downstairs, and that's your way to get connected into those. Aaron would be more than happy to help you out with that. Raise your hand, Aaron. That glorious man back there. But it would be more than happy to help you with that. So, and it's downstairs at the table. But here's what I know about church work. I'm going to be 28 this month, so you're going like, what do you know about anything? You're 28. But I started this when I was 22, so I've kind of gone around for a while with this. But what I know is that if we don't remind ourselves of why in the world we do the things we do, we'll forget and we'll settle in and we'll get really comfortable with what we generally do and we won't really be what we set out to be. It's really easy in life, isn't it, like to get off track of where you want to go? The example I use it all the time, what was me in school? I was not good at school at any level. It was not a good place for me to be, but I had to go, so I went. I even went to college, which was amazing, and I graduated. It took a really long time, but 7 years to be exact. So if some of you are like, man, I'm still going, don't worry, there's hope. But it took me 7 years to do that, and here's what I realized about myself in this, is I would come in the beginning of the semester, I got my Trapper Keeper, my Hello Kitty folders, right, and all that stuff, and I'm ready to go. And I had Hello Kitty folders in high school. It's a true story. But, I have everything organized and labeled. And, like, a week into it, I don't even know where that Trapper Keeper was. I couldn't find a pencil anywhere in my world, not alone, like, in my locker. I was, like, everything was bad again. And I would just forget. I got lazy, and I would move out of that really quickly. And the bad news is I still kind of do that. But well, with us as a church body, if we don't remind ourselves, we'll do that. We'll say, oh man, this is a great thing we're setting out to do, and then we'll just kind of forget. And we'll settle into what's easy to do, or what's comfortable, or what suits us the best. And I got news for you, that's not really what Christ has for you, is for you just to be generally something in some shape of who your heart feels like you're called to be. He wants you to be like Him. That's the goal, right? Is to be sanctified into His image. We're going to talk about that in our sermon today. But in our missional communities, here's what I want to remind us of. Is people say, man, like it feels like we're gathering and we're having small groups. Our missional communities aren't very missional yet. And that's okay. Like, I'm not coming down on us. We right now are small groups. That's what we are. We're groups of generally believers coming together, sharing meals together, learning about each other, trying to love each other better. And those are all good things. We want to keep that going. But here's where I want to cast vision to. It is what makes it a missional community. I'm going to blow your mind. It's going on mission. It's missional communities identifying a people group that they are set out to reach and to love and to win into the kingdom of God because His Spirit wants to save them and He wants to use you to do it. That's kind of the component that we're trying to get to in missional communities. So what does that look like? Let me tell you what it doesn't look like at the Well. Let me tell you what it doesn't look like. We will not provide opportunities for you to get to know your neighbors. That is your responsibility. I know, that's crazy, right? But it's true, right? Isn't it? We are not setting out to put a program together for you so you can know the people who live around you. We trust that the Spirit of God within you as an active believer of Jesus Christ can go out and talk to people. That you can do that. And so, what does that even look like? How do we do that? And I want to cast vision to this because, I mean, I really love it when I hear about stories of people getting to know their neighbors, people they work with, the people they live around. Because, man, we're here to make disciples. We're here to see people come into the kingdom of God. And as long as it stays just us, this thing won't grow. We won't make more disciples. It'll just stay stagnant. But let me just share a story with you. And it's as recent as last night for me. I have been for months. There's a group of four guys. Live next door to me. And they're hilarious. They're all single dudes from Philadelphia. And they're just like tatted out. One guy works at a local dispensary. One guy works at Subaru as a mechanic. They're not in college. They're college age guys. Totally lost. I mean, in all sense. I'm not saying like they don't believe in Jesus. I'm saying they're just lost. They're sitting on their back porch drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, going like, why can't I get a job? You know, I can help them out with that. You know, but that's kind of where they are in life. And I've grown to love these guys. The guys put them in my heart. And so I continually say, hey guys, what are you doing tonight? Why don't you come over? Why don't you hang out? Why don't you? And so Joe, specifically, this guy Joe who lives next door, who I have a fondness for Joe. He's just a good dude. You know, you meet some guys like, that guy's not a good dude. This guy is a good dude. And he's a good dude. And I've gotten to know him a little bit. And we talk all the time. I split wood in my backyard, which I think freaks people out because it's like a condo complex. I'm out there with an axe. Like, I got to earn my man card every week, so I chop wood once a week. And I'm out there. Tim, I'll get you your axe back soon, bro. But I'm out there, and he comes out, and we talk all the time. We have all these conversations. We talk about church stuff a little bit, and I've invited him over, I don't even know how many times for things. And one time, we invited all the guys over for dinner, and they showed up an hour late, and high, you know, and the pot. Like, oh, food! And they came over, and they ate. But so they came over, and they ate with us, and we got to have a sweet time with those guys. And so I've been talking to Joe, and Joe lost his job recently, and he came to me. He came to my house and said, can you help me? I know that you seem like you know people. You always have people in your house, and you're always nice to me, and you know, can you help me find? And I tried, and I didn't find him a job. I got him some leads. He ended up getting a job, and he came over, and he brought me an adult beverage as a thank you gift, which was very nice of him. So that was great. So last night, the UFC fight was on TV. It was the first time that it ever aired it live, which I'm a fan of. You can make fun of me. I don't really care. But I love it. And so I was like, I saw Joe. So I was like, Joe, why don't you come over tonight? Some of my friends are. And he just came over, and he hung out. First time he came over on his own, just to hang out. And I'm like, man. And so now, like, Joe and I are at another level in our relationship where we can continue talking about the gospel. We can continue talking about the church. We can continue talking about his life and what he's struggling with and what's going on and what he needs. And he knows he can come to me and listen to me. That's what we want you to do every day. Missional communities are meant to fuel that. Very simply. It's not a program. There is not a process. There is, I can't give you a book and you can follow it line by line because we're dealing with people. And people are nuts. And people are crazy. So all that said, man, that is missional community. And so, man, we want to hear stories from your missional communities. We want you to get into missional communities. We want you to bring people into these missional communities. And we're going to start doing some things. There's going to be some changes probably coming up around missional communities that we think may help you in that a little bit. So I wanted to make you aware of that. Okay, mini sermon, done. It's not really a sermon. I didn't use any scripture. Acts 2. Go. There you go. Anyways. Let me pray. I'm going to move like crazy today because Chase preached a really short, nice, compact sermon last week, and I'm determined to do the same thing because it was very refreshing. So let's pray and let's get after it. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your love and patience. Thank you that you give the Holy Spirit to us to persevere, to love, rebuke, to come together, to live as married couples, as singles, and all. I love what you are knitting together here in this body, and may we be a community on mission. And as we dive into your word, as we look at, well, what is this church and why are we here, may your spirit speak to us. May it change us. Don't you dare let us leave the same as when we came in this morning. And Lord, I want to be upfront with my intentions. I pray that Christians would be in a state of adoration and love for you more than when they came in here. And those that don't know you, I pray that they would come to know you here, that your preached word would change hearts, not by any of my doing, but by strictly your spirit and what it wants to do. We want to partake in that with you, God. Please bless us and allow that. We are thankful for what you are going to do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's get after it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This book is done. While you're turning there, where are we going next? We're going to be doing 3 weeks coming up on men. And hear me on this, ladies. You're going, what? Like, this is going to be the most beneficial thing for you, I promise, that you could come sit under and hear. We're going to be preaching about men and what a biblical man is. And it'll be great. But I want to give a warning with that a little bit. I'm going to start planting this in your head. Like, I'm not preaching on men so you have ammo to talk to your man and, like, beat him down with, like, did you hear what he said a man is? That's not what we're doing in that series, okay? Just interject that in there now, okay? So, men, we're doing that for 3 weeks. Then we'll be moving on 2 weeks on Christmas on the promise made in the Old Testament and the promise fulfilled in the New Testament. And then on Christmas Eve, we're having a service here. It's here. We got the place. And so we'll be here Christmas Eve, nothing Christmas morning, because I don't want to come, and neither do you, and that's okay, maybe you do, you can come, I don't know if anybody will be here, but nothing Christmas Eve, and then New Year's Day, we're going to have a little standalone service, and then we're going to start a series in Ephesians that will take us probably till August 12th. So that's where we are about the next year. So there's your update, I'll talk to you in about 6 months. All right, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 12. Let's get after it. I've said that like 9 times. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good for one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Listen to this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under an oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Man, that's good stuff. Like, I mean, amen, right? Let's just go home. But that's not going to happen. Question for you. What are you doing here? Why did you personally wake up this morning and decide to come here? What made you go, 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday? Sign me up. I'm probably going to miss part of the first quarter of the football game. That's okay. Something happened there. Or I always forget that you guys don't like football for the most part. I'm in Boulder, but it's not cool. But what made you come here? You know, and if we were able to poll everybody here, you'd just get tons of answers. Some of you are here because, like, well, she made me, he made me. They want me to. I'm here because, well, I don't have anything else better to do. I'm here for community. I'm here because I love Jesus. I love gathering the saints. I love being here. I mean, there's a ton of answers, right, of why you may be here. But I want to tell you a story real quick. I'm going to tell you my story of why I started coming, why I ended up at church. And I bet it will resound with you at some level. because I think we've all gone through these phases. I came to church originally because I thought it was so weird that I had to see. I was like, this is the goofiest thing I have ever seen in my life, and I want to see more of it. These people all get together, sing songs. The guy gets up and basically yells at them for an hour. They sing some more songs, and they hang out, and then they usually go out to eat together. I see that nowhere else in culture. I don't see it. I mean, maybe school a little bit, but people pay for that. They're not paying to go to church. Trust me, we know this. But I wanted to explore it. I wanted to check it out. I wanted to see. I wasn't a Christian. I wanted to see it, and I loved what I saw. I kind of got hooked on it. I started going more and more, and so then it kind of changed from, hey, instead of explore, I wanted to learn. Well, why do you do this? Hey, I heard this family just lost a job, and so everybody's paying for what? Are you serious? You're doing this? You're reaching out? You really think this is worth your time and energy? That's interesting. Started learning. Then I started getting into the Bible, and I was like, well, that's even more interesting, which it is interesting, just so you know. And I was intrigued by the whole thing, and I was like, it doesn't even go in order right all the time, and people follow it. This is very intriguing. This is different than any other book. And so I started to explore, and I started to dig, and I started to learn. I started to fall in love with it, and eventually what happened is God saved me, and I fell madly in love with this weird thing that I came to explore. Enough that I said, this is what I want to commit my life to. It's the Church of Jesus. His church. I want to be part of that. And so that's why I'm here today, because I love it. I'm here today because I absolutely love this thing. But the question is this, what is it? What is this thing that we're called to be? And so here's my challenge to us as we dive into the text. Here's my challenge. It's, you are called, listen to me, Christians specifically, you are called to be in the church and be the church. You're called to be in the church and be the church. A little confusing, we'll get there. Because some places it's like, you're in the church, man, you're in. You walk an aisle, you come to the building, you're in. Other places it's like, oh man, you are the church. I'm like, you're the church, man. That's the new movement thing, right? It's not a building, bro. It's not a building, and it's not. That's true. But there is something great about us coming together, right? So how do we bring these two worlds together? How do we bring them together? This thing that we're called to love and that we've fallen in love with and that hopefully you're falling in love with. So what is it? Before we can really get into it, I think we need to have just a baseline definition of what the church is. And it's a little lengthy, but I'm just going to read it to you because people who are much smarter than me wrote it. You ready? The church is a community of regenerated believers who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In obedience to Scripture, they organize under qualified leadership, gather regularly for preaching and worship, observe biblical sacraments of baptism and communion, are unified by the Spirit, are disciplined for holiness, and scatter to fulfill the Great Commandment and Great Commission as missionaries to the world for God's glory and their joy. Mark Driscoll, Vintage Church. It's a book he wrote. It's a good book. You should read it. And it's basically, that's a summary of Acts chapter 2. Okay, go. Do that. Everything I just said. You guys, ready? Go. Who has any clue how to do that? Maybe you do. You should probably be up here then. We're figuring it out. You know who has a clue is Paul in his letter. So the question for us this morning is this, that we want to answer is, how can I be in the church and be the church? How can I be that picture in something that I'm madly in love with it and to the point where I become it and I'm in it. I'm in community. When I say in it, that's what I mean. I mean biblical community. How do I do that? What does that even look like? Well, Paul lays that out for us here in the last part of this letter. And just so you know, the last part of this letter, he's been writing them. He came to this church, right? He started this church, and it went so well that he actually pretty much got kicked out of the city. And so he's writing letters to them to train them, to keep them up to date. And the last part of a letter, generally, especially for Paul, is kind of, if you forget everything, remember these things. okay? Remember these things, okay? I want you to get this, because this letter was probably read very similar to how I read it this morning to you, but the whole book. It was probably the sermon. The guy opened the letter in front of the body and read it aloud to the people. So Paul gives us some clarity to this church that he was with for a few weeks that's young and doesn't totally know what they're doing, but they're seeing success, they're seeing God move, they're seeing people called into the kingdom. Does it sound familiar at all? I hope you're going, oh, I'm in one of those. Because you are. That's what's happening here. Let me remind you, in April, there was, when I showed up to preach the first time, there was 12. Okay? There was one missional community. There's four people reaching out. I've seen this happen. Okay? That's what you're part of. So this letter is for you this morning. Know that. Okay. So there's six things here that Paul has for us. That way you can know when I am almost done. Right? You know, like, don't you love points? It's like, okay, he's almost done. We're out of here. Is this clock right, by the way? What time is it? Somebody tell me what time. Perfect. Okay, I'm on pace. Let's go. Number one, let's read it. 5:12-13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. My personal new favorite verses in the Bible. Right? Kind of joking, but not really. Number one is this. You don't know how you're in this body, you know how you're in this thing, and you know how you're becoming this, because when you become underneath, and I'll get to this, because I'm throwing some darts out into your soul that our culture has trained us to not really like all that much, you're underneath, you're following qualified leadership. How do you get in the body? How do you become the church and be the church? First, you submit. Oh, that's your favorite word in the world, right? You submit to called, qualified leadership. Who loves in here to have people over them, like in charge of them? Michelle, awesome. Boom, I got one. Pat, you're a lucky man. Let me tell you something. I don't think it's you, really, because it's definitely not me. We generally aren't big fans of being underneath people in that sense. But the Bible gives a very different definition of being underneath. Because for us, generally, the reason we have bad responses to it is because it means we've been manipulated, used, abused, challenged in the wrong areas, all of this. But generally, we really hate authority. If we really break it down, we're not big fans of authority. It's not something that we just enjoy. I hate authority. I was so bad at that as a kid. You know, I was the one who struggled the most with it. But, look at this verse. Look at this. What kind of leaders is the Bible calling you to be under? What kind? It says here that what? Highly loved because of what? Because of their work. Say it with me. Say their work. Okay, that's two. Everybody, work. There you go. Just say it out loud. Work. They work hard. They go after it. They get things done. And you know why? Because they want to see Christ glorified in you. They do. Qualified leadership loves to see the body of Christ have the glory of God shine from them. And so they work hard at it. Let me tell you something. Your leaders here at the Well work really hard for you. It may not look like it. And I know that you're like, dude, you're talking about yourself up front. How lame is that? I get it, but listen to me. We weep for you. Okay? We bury our faces to the ground and say, God, do something in these people. Please. We beg and plead with him because we want to work hard so that God does something amazing through you. That's the kind of leadership you're called to be under. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Do you know how hard it is to be a leader in this church? We don't just like, people are like, I want to lead. We're like, all right, come on up. If somebody comes to us and says, I want to be an elder in this church, you know, it's probably going to take you about 2 years. And that's not just because we've made some obscure things. And we want to make sure that you are qualified, called, gifted, loving shepherd of God's people. What does that look like? 1 Timothy. It's like a next door neighbor. Just go on over. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, listen to this. Anybody wants to be this? If you want to know the weight that's on us. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectful, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. That's pretty serious. Verse 7. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. That's the leadership you're called to be. And that's what we're striving for. Yes, the number one point here is in here. Not the number one, it's not in a certain order, but what Paul's saying, if you want to be in the church, if you want to be the church, you need to be under called, qualified leadership. And what does that look like? Let's go to our second point. 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. What does that look like? That good leadership? Well, they're doing these things. And they're calling you to do these things. And what are these things? And what is our second point? It is this. To give and to receive spiritual direction. To be the church and be in the church is to give and to receive spiritual direction. To give and to receive. And notice that there's both, give and receive. Everybody's going, yeah, I like to give. The receive, I'm not sure how I feel about that one. Let's dive into it a little bit. The first one he says is idle. Admonish the idle. Well, idle, if you really break it down, it means disorderly or undisciplined. Admonish, that's a fancy word for tell them that they're wrong. Guide them. Who in here is like, man, I love when that happens to me. And maybe it turns out good. Maybe, like, you love it, but generally we're not like, when people come to us like, bro, you see what you're doing right there? It's going to kill you. My first reaction is kick back. Well, you don't know me. Even if they do. Right? Right? Like, especially, the best is like when my wife gently comes to me, Ari comes to me, she's like, hey, she's so gracious. She's like, what about this? And I'm like, what? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay, she's really patient with me. We'll get into that in a second. But admonish the idol is the first one we see. And in the body, you need to be admonishing them. Listen, and that means for those of you that are lazy, I'm going to go ahead and do that. Don't do that. Don't be lazy. Have discipline in your life. Those are good, godly characteristics. And I don't have time to get into all of that this morning. But listen, here in this body, we will correct that with you. We'll sit with you and say, man, you have so much potential, so much talent. What is God doing for you? I know He is calling you beyond Modern Warfare 3. Some of you are like, what? Don't worry about it. It's not you. It doesn't apply to you. Okay? But you need to be able to receive it when we get lazy. And we also need to be able to look into people's lives. And in the last one there, don't miss it. It said, do it all with patience, right? We'll get into that more in a second. Second one is faint-hearted. Man, some of you need to hear this right now. Like, just let it rest on your soul. Faint-hearted, what do we call it? Encouraged. What is faint-hearted? Tired. Man, who in here is just tired? Who in here is just like, I need a nap. Like, that's all I need in life right now, and that would help so much. Listen, we're called to encourage you and say, man, keep going. Keep living. Don't give up. Don't quit. God is going to use it. Be patient in it. Man, we are to encourage. Doesn't it feel so good? This is a good one, right? Like, the first one, the admonish one, but this one, it's like, man, don't you love it when people come around you and just go, man, I know you've been working hard. And I see that. And I appreciate that. Keep going. And you know what happens? That person can keep going. They can't. And you know what it does to you? It builds a trusted relationship with that person. We are called to be doing that and receiving that. The third one is the weak. Or people who flat out can't help themselves right now. And you know, in America, and like I'm looking at this room, and listen, we're not a lot of down and outers in here. Just being, I mean, like the closest thing we got is college students who are down and out, but like they're going to see you. Don't talk to me about that. Like, it's not that bad. It could be worse, right? But weak and can't help themselves. Have you ever been in that spot where it's just like you've been broken down to the point when you're just, I don't even know what to do. I can't even help myself. I shared this story with Chase when we were on the road. When I was a kid, I used to get in a lot of trouble. I've alluded to that a few times. And I got in trouble all the time. And it was like a vicious cycle where I was like failing grades. I was that really old guy in school, shaving in like 7th grade. Not because I like, yeah, it was a long story. Anyways, focus. But I just got in trouble all the time. Like, I really didn't have any that much of a parental correction. My mom was working her butt off for me. You know, God bless her. Like, but, like, I was kind of on my own a lot of times. And I just got in a lot of trouble. And I remember I had a principal that pulled me into his office. And he's like, I couldn't even see. I thought everybody got in trouble as much as me. He's like, I want to show you something, Matt. I want to show you something. And he brings me over to his computer. And goes, how many times a year do you think the average student is in after-school detention? I was like, I don't know, 40? That's what I said. That was probably about where I was. And he turned his computer and he showed me. And there was like 6 of us that had ever had after school detention. I had gotten into a world so deep, you know, that I couldn't even see. Like, I had no idea that people didn't get in trouble all the time like that. Like, I didn't even know that that was possible. I was like, I can go to recess? But we're weak, and a lot of times we just can't even help ourselves. And sometimes it's like, man, the business has failed. I've tried everything in my marriage. My kids won't listen. Like, I don't even know. And you know what we're supposed to do with them? We're supposed to help them. That doesn't mean being know-it-alls. That doesn't mean being a... That means help them. Provide counsel. Love them. Give them a break. Give them some money if they need it. I don't know. Whatever it is, the body is called to do that. So we're called to admonish the idle. Right? We're called to encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. And that goes beyond our body, doesn't it? And the last part in the verse, he says, and to be patient with them. You know why? Because God's pretty patient with you. That's all I got to say about that, right? I think you know that. Once again, give and receive spiritual direction. Third one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that no one repays evil. I'm sorry, I just totally butchered that. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Wow, that's a lot of people. You know what that is? Our third point is this. It is let mission, the mission of God in your life, let mission be on display. To be the church and be in the church, mission needs to be on display in your life. It needs to. Right? If it's not, then it's like, I don't really know what you're doing if it's just for you. This thing was never meant to be just for you. Now, let's look at this a little deeper. Do you know that you are the visible image of Christ as a body of believers right, to this world. Did you know that? Like, listen, like, that's the plan. There isn't another one. You're the plan. Like, not me, I'm part of it, but listen, you are the plan God has set in motion to redeem all things and bring all things back to Himself. It is never meant to be kept for yourself, ever. It is meant to be shared open-handedly. And what does this look like? Well, let's look at this verse. It's so good, right? It's so good because it says, see, that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Man, doesn't that just fly in the face of everything that we just think we deserve? We deserve. They owe me that. Man, you want to put mission on display? I want to say this right. So if this just doesn't jive with you, talk to me, okay? Because I don't really know how else to say it. Let people walk on you. At times. I'm not saying, don't always just be a doormat and let people just beat the trash out of you and take from you. But let them walk on you so that the gospel may reign. So that you can go, listen, I'm cool with it because God's in control. And listen, I love you, even despite the evil you have done to me. And for some of you, you're looking at me going, Matt, you have no idea. And you're right, I don't. But you know who does? His name is Jesus, because He felt that burden, that pain, that sin as He died on the cross for it. Because it's not dependent on if I understand it or not. You know you have a great high priest, His name is Jesus, who empathizes, who knows. He's been there. And He's saying, man, I took it all on myself so that you may come into the kingdom. And I'm asking you, the church, to take some on yourself so that more may come into the kingdom. Don't repay evil for evil. Some of us may be as simple as like chilling out a little bit while we drive. Right? I just got a lesson in driving in Dallas from Chase's dad. That was interesting. You know, right? Like, maybe we need to chill out a little bit when we drive. Like, he didn't do anything bad, just so you know. Like, he gets it done. Like, right? But for others, it may be like, maybe you need to make a phone call today. Maybe you repay with evil. Maybe that needs to be made right. Because the gospel doesn't have room in there for you to let that sit. It just doesn't. How do they know us? How do we know each other? How is this? You don't have to go there just for time's sake if you want to, but John 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 13:35 says this. Check this out. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. When He talks, you should listen. By this, all people will know that you are My disciples. If you have what? Say it out. If you have love for one another. That does not look like repaying evil for evil. That's how they know. You want to reach people? Love people well. Even when they don't deserve it, because you know what? You don't deserve it. Surprise! Neither do I. And the last thing in there, and I can't believe I have to say this, but I have to, because I have to do it my way. You know, do good things for people. That sounds really simple. That's what this verse is calling us to. Do good things for people. Quick story, and then we'll move on to the next one. Yesterday, I went to try Red Rocks Coffee Shop over by Safeway where I live. Here in Boulder, and I was there, and they were filming Twister outside, apparently. And I'm sitting there, and metal chairs and tables start flying away into the parking lot. And I'm like, whoa! And then everybody stands up and goes, hey, your chairs are flying away. Like, everybody's just standing there. I'm like, seriously? Like, looking around, and they're all like, look at the chairs, they're hitting the cars. They are, like, rolling through the parking lot. Like, just like hitting the car. And they're like, look at that one. And I'm like, and like, the baristas are like, I'm making coffee, I don't know what to do. And, like, two of them. And people are still ordering their drinks, like, No. Vente. Right? Like, doing that kind of thing. And I'm like, seriously. So I walked outside and I grabbed the chairs. Done. Like, illustration over. You know why? Because I love Jesus and he loved me first, and that's exactly what he would do. Right? Don't just sit back. Be the person that don't go, look. Look at that guy. He's drowning. I'm going to call the police. Okay, if it's like really fast water, just disclaimer, don't get in, call the police. But anyways. Fourth point. I love it when you're preaching here. Jeez. Chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Next point. Fourth point. Here we go. I'm not going to beat you, Chase. 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay. Regularly experience. This is your fifth point. Regularly experience the basics. What are the basics? Okay, this is really cool to end here. You know that like the writer of this almost used song, and I can't think of the kind of note, but it actually would have been like a note that's in there that would separate it, so when the reader read it, there would have been a long pause in between all of these to let it sit on you. Isn't that cool? Commas don't really get it done here. Let's read it again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. What are the basics that you need to be experiencing? One is this. Rejoice. Listen, like, Christians, you've got to rejoice. You've got to have some fun. We're really good at being like, oh, I stink so bad, I need Jesus. And you do stink so bad. But then you rejoice. You rejoice in the fact that he has saved you and redeemed you and made you free. It's what lets you sing loud. It's what lets you love extravagantly. It's what lets you forgive amazingly, right? That you can rejoice in that. Like, I'll be honest with y'all, it depresses me a little bit. Like, I know there's a million words in that song we sang up front. But, like, you can show emotion if it stirs your heart. If it doesn't, like, man, be who you are. But it's okay to rejoice in this place and in life. Rejoice. Same with pray. I stink at this, and I've been convicted of it pretty heavily this last week. We went and visited several churches, and that are doing amazing things, and to be quite honest, they're defined by prayer. Got to experience one great prayer meeting with a staff of like 120 people at a church. And just the whole staff, just on their faces, literally. I'm not like saying that, like figuratively. I mean on their faces. Praying for God to do something amazing in their midst. Man, just convicted me, I don't do that enough. And we're going to start soon, just as a heads up. There'll be some stuff we're going to integrate into your missional communities that we think will drive our community better into that direction. Because we need to lead well there. Back to the first point, right? I'm convicted of this one. This one got me. Usually in a sermon, I can find one thing that's like, oh, done. That's mine. Pray. Last one. Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Nobody likes an unthankful person, right? Like, they come over, they can feed them, they're like, was it good?
Yeah.
Man, Christians, be thankful. And get this. You know the scriptures call you to be thankful even when you don't really think you have anything to be thankful for? Because at the end of the day, if you claim the name of Christ, you are a bought, paid for son and daughter of the King of Kings, the Most High. That's who you are. You have no reason to ever have a day be unthankful. And listen, I am preaching to myself right now. I'm the king of being cynical about everything. Right? Man, be thankful. Real quick. Let's go over to Philippians. Philippians, where am I? 4, verse 6. Check this out. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Because what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. That one touches on what? Prayer and thanksgiving. Psalm 97:12. It's in the middle. You can go there if you want. Psalm 97:12. Check this out. Rejoice, right? Rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, you righteous. Get that. You just said, oh, you righteous. You're made righteous. That's so good. Rejoice in the Lord, oh, you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Rejoice and be thankful. I got hundreds of them. Go all day on that. It's packed full of them. Do you know it's a blessing to partake in those? Partake in the basics, guys. Just the basics. Rejoice, pray, and be thankful. Rejoice, pray, and be thankful. It's good stuff. It's really simple. I'm not like a theological giant up here this week, or ever really, but especially right now. Okay? Point five. We're getting there. 19 through 22. I love these because I love weird verses that deal with the Spirit. Me and the Holy Spirit, we love each other immensely, and I'm going to convince you of it right now. 19 through 22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Your fifth point is experience the Spirit and his gifts. Listen, I'm not going to get creepy on you. Some of you go, what? But listen to me. You need to know this, that the Holy Spirit is God. Don't quench him. Is what I'm saying. Don't cut it off. Don't go, I don't understand the Holy Spirit. He's kind of weird. The Bible says he comes and goes like the wind, and nobody knows where he's going. And that's who he is. And he is fully God. You might be going, what in the world are you talking about? I can give you tons of articles written, but you need to understand that the Spirit is the reason we can accomplish anything through Christ. Right? We see this. God the Father, quick picture of the Trinity. God the Father, loving, existing forever, sends God the Son, loving and existing forever, to earth as a man to live the life we couldn't live, perfect, without stain, die on the cross, be buried, raised, tell everybody, hey, it's better for me to leave because I'm going to send the third part of the Godhead. It's called the Holy Spirit, and he is equally God. So Jesus rises, goes to heaven, and sends who? The Holy Spirit to fall on all people everywhere who claim the name of Christ so that the kingdom may advance. The Holy Spirit, don't quench it. And I am so bad at this. I mean, I kind of like the weird side of Christianity. So it makes it really fun. It makes it exciting. Like, man, let's get a little creepy here. Who wants to see somebody straight up healed? And you're like, that'd be sick, right? Like, when I pray for people, I'm not like, oh, I hope they get better. I'm like, Holy Spirit, heal this person. Come on now. Like, come on. I don't want them to have cancer anymore, and you can make this right. Who doesn't want that? Right? Come on. Thank you, Art. Okay. My wife gets me going. We can do this. All right. Don't quench it. He's here to help. The point of this text is to give the Thessalonians a better balance and understanding the Holy Spirit. Because probably what's happening is they're not really understanding what's going on, so they start cutting it off. Like, no, that's weird. Don't understand. He said, no. Don't quench it. But listen, what else does he say? He says, do not quench it. Do not despise prophecies. So when people speak the word of God, don't despise it. Listen to it. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. It says, now, okay, don't just let everything come flooding in. Right? That would be weird. Okay? Don't let everything come flooding in. So how do you test? Really quick, I'm not going to go deep into this. If you want me to write them down for you, I can somewhere or give them to you. Chase will remind me that I said that later. And we'll put it somewhere where you can get it. But how do you test the Spirit? How do you know? I got a couple for you real quick. One, we call it authoritative revelation. Does it match this? right? When somebody said, the Spirit's calling me to do this, go, bro, I don't think this is calling you to beat people up, like, for fun. Like, it's not, that's, the Spirit's not leading you to that. Doesn't match, right? Like, well, we love each other in each other's hearts, so we can have sex with each other before we're married. No, no, that's a wrong understanding of what the Spirit's speaking to you. You're wrong. The Bible doesn't set that up. Okay? Authoritative revelation comes from the Word. Second one is this. Edification. Does it edify? Oh, what? Edify? I don't even know what that means, right? It means, does it build the body up? Or does it tear people down? Does it bring unity? Or does it ruin everything that God is doing? It can go much deeper into that, but we won't for time's sake. Right? And then the last one is this. Biblical discernment from qualified, gifted people who can do that. That can be man, woman, anybody. But people who actually get this book, understand it, have the ability to look and go, I don't think so. Let's talk about that. I want to get to know you better. I want to hear this. Like, listen, like, the best thing is that people are like, the Spirit's telling me to do this, and everybody around them is going, don't do it. That's discernment. It's when the body of Christ can rally and go, yes, that person is called for that. The Spirit, I'm confirming that. Okay? Let's move on. If it's good, go. If it's evil, abstain. That's verse 22 in there. Through those things, you can put it through a filter. If it's good, go with it, man. If it's evil, get away from it. Last point. Thank you. Verse 23 through 24. My favorite one. Oh. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is what is faithful. He will surely do it. Don't you love just even how that's... He will surely do it. Listen to me. The last point is the most important point. Because all that stuff before is nice. And they're good things. Listen, you can pray and not be a Christian. You can rejoice and not be a Christian. You can submit to leadership and not be a Christian. You can do all those things. This last one, you know what it's calling you to? It says, be his. That's our sixth point. Be his. Be owned by Jesus. It is the most glorious thing that there is. Be Jesus, it belong to him. You know, he's the only hope we have. You know that? He's the only hope we have. Hear me. It is the only hope that anybody sitting in this room, walking this earth, has. That's it. You can read every book. You can study everything you want. At the end of the day, what do you, Christian or non-Christian, do with the name of Jesus? What do you do with it? Because he is your hope. You can't. I mean, you can fake these things, you can brush over them, you can get a glimpse of them, but you can't have called qualified leaders without your hope being in him. You really can't give and receive accurate spiritual direction without the Holy Spirit, right? You need to be his. You can't. What are you on mission for if your hope is not in Christ? You can't experience the basics at the depths in which the Holy Spirit is calling you to unless you're his. And you surely cannot experience the Spirit of God unless you are his. You know, this is the crescendo of this whole book. I love music that just, I don't know if you're like, okay, I'm a big Coldplay fan. You know why? It's because they take their time. Not like Pink Floyd obnoxiously take their time. Right? Like, they take their time to build and to build and to build until it's almost like you're bursting at the seams, right? Maybe you don't care about music, but I do. It's something that just speaks to my soul so much, and you can just listen to something like that, and then the crescendo, and it breaks, and it's just like this explosion of glory. But here's the thing, Coldplay isn't glory. It's just good music that God has been gracious enough to give us. This is the crescendo of this book. Let's read it again. Because he says this, he says, "Now may the God of peace himself," can you see it building? This drum has been beating this whole book, right? Who is God? Who is God? Who is God? He is the God of peace. The drum's getting louder as you listen to it, right? "The God of peace himself sanctify you completely." He is working in your life. It's getting louder, right? He is working in your life. He is making you look more like him. That's what the word sanctification means. He is drawing you closer to loving him if you don't yet. It's the drum is just beating and it's getting louder and louder. "And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless." He's doing it all. He wants all of it. Do you hear it? All of it. He really goes after the spirit and the soul here, right? "And your body. May it all be kept blameless when Jesus returns," is what he says. And then the song busts open with just glory at the last part when he says, "He who calls you is faithful." And the one who is calling you here right now, his name is Jesus. He is calling you. And he will surely do it. Oh my gosh. It's like, we should all be weeping. I am. I'm like fighting it right now. Right? Like, he calls you. And he is trustworthy. And he will surely do it. What else in your life can you bank on? Like that. You can't. He is your hope. His promise is good. It's so good. God wants all of you. All of it. All of it. Not some of it. He wants all of it. And we will battle with that till the day we die, folks. Won't we? But man, progress is glorious. Verse 23 says he wants your spirit, soul, and body. Listen, just me as a pastor of this church, one of them, submitting to call of qualified leaders, you need to hear that. Everybody's got a boss other than Jesus. He is the chief priest of this place. He is the leadership we're under. And you know what he's calling me to beg you. Listen. I don't know how, apart from the Spirit of God, to convince you to go all in. I don't know how. I have no idea how to do it. But here's what I do know. I know this. I know that God is calling his people to unify and to be the church and be in the church. And bring it all together and redeem this broken, jacked up place. And you're part of it. And my job is to plead and beg you to be receptive to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. I am calling some of you today, listen to me, hear me, I am calling some of you today to give it all up. I am. I don't know what that looks like, but that's what the Spirit of God has led me in this room, to give it all up and be fully in, whatever it has been holding you back. And listen, here's one of the good things. All four of the families that moved here did that to come here. And we want to walk with you in that. We're asking you to go all in. We're asking you to be members here. To join this church. We have no problem saying that. We're asking you to submit to godly leadership. We're asking you to rejoice, to pray, be thankful. We're asking you to do it, and I'm just begging you. And so, it's ultimately dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I want to read the last couple verses in here, because this is how serious God gets with this. And then we're done. Verse 25, listen to this. This is me, the leadership of the well, speaking back to you. Put your mind around that. This is what we're asking you for. Listen to this. Brothers, sisters, pray for us. Please. Pray for us. Greet all brothers with a holy kiss. Okay, a little creepy. We can shake hands. But seriously, that's a deep sign of love. Love one another. Listen, this is how important this stuff is. What he said to them is like, I put you under an oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. We are asking you, and we are putting you, if you are joining us, under an oath to read this, to bring this message to this area. And finally, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Here's what I want to do. We're going to move into our time of worship here, which is much more than music, but I'm going to do things a little differently. I wasn't planning this, I just thought of it, so watch out. Worship team can come on. Here's what I want to do. I want to explain a couple things, and then I'll tell you specifically what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. Is we do a couple things here. We're going to sing, and so in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing because he's worthy, right? And then as we sing, you're more than welcome to come forward and to partake in the bread and the wine here. And what this is very simply, it's the representation of our Savior who died for us. The wine represents the blood that was shed for us. It covers our sins, that makes us righteous, and gives us the ability to stand in his presence clean and holy. The bread represents his body that was broken, bruised, and beaten for you. You need to understand that was done for you. And he called his disciples before he left to come and take this to remember me. Not me, Jesus. To remember Jesus. So that's all we're doing here. We're remembering him. We're remembering his cross. Remembering that it happened for us. Remembering that he loves us immensely. So you can do that whenever you want. You can take it as a couple, as a family, as a missional community, as friends. You can stand in the back and do it. You can sit down and do it. You can take it by yourself. It's up to you. All you do is you break a piece of bread, dip it in the wine, and take it. And we would say, man, if you don't know Jesus yet, that this is something that is a big deal for us. It's a really big deal for us. So maybe don't take it if you're not there. If you don't know what you believe. I would ask you to not partake. But ultimately, if you're in that place where you're going, I need this Jesus, I'm asking you to separate the clutter from the room. Like right now, listen, I don't care if dinosaurs existed or not. What I care about is what you do with the name of Jesus. We'll get to that stuff. Let's deal with Jesus today. And if you want to deal with him today, Chase is in the back, I'm in the back, we would love, I can't express that enough, to talk with you more about that and come take communion with you for the very first time as a believer. That would make my day.